So I want to talk about Jesus some more tonight, if that's okay, as we get started with a new section of this All About Jesus topic that we've been looking at. We're going to talk about the miracles of Jesus for about the next 3 weeks in our small groups and on Sundays. And so I want to kind of start it off tonight with Jesus' first miracle is what we're going to talk about tonight. But when I say miracle, when I say we're going to be talking about miracles and you hear a miracle, what do you think of? Is there something that happened to you this week that you would say was like a miracle? Like, I got 100 on a test and I didn't even study for it. Or, you know, I actually, you know, had a decent conversation with somebody at school that is never nice to me, and they actually didn't like trip me or whatever. Like, anybody got something? Anybody got an example? Something that happened to you this week that's like a miracle, Allie?
So this girl named Jayla, she usually is like mean to everyone. And then yesterday, she tripped me in the hall, and then we went to art class, and she was actually really nice to me the whole entire class. And I was like, maybe she knows the bad.
It's a Christmas miracle.
I know.
Right?
It's not even Christmas though.
Yeah, Val. Wow.
Miracle on
it. Wow. Yeah. Anybody else got anything? Yeah.
There was this girl who bullied me in fourth and fifth grade, and this year she's been completely nice to me.
Okay. That's pretty awesome. You had one, didn't you? Yeah.
My sister broke up with her happy ex-boyfriend.
Praise him, right? There. Yeah, that's kind of. Aren't you her sister?
Yeah.
That would be why.
Yeah.
All right, Gav.
I slapped together a project last minute and got a B minus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely had a lot of prayer in that one. Yep.
Yep.
Okay. Let me ask you this, because I know a few of the, like, you guys are starting to think of stuff. Why do we consider things like that miracles? Why? Why do we look at those kinds of events and we look at those things? Why do we think that those are like supernatural? You know what I mean? Because when we're talking about a miracle, we're not talking about something that's an everyday occurrence, right? We're not talking about something that's just like your average thing. It's not like, oh, I got gas in my car. It's a miracle. Like, we're talking about something that's like,
Jesus is coming back.
Yeah, well, yeah. But something that we would consider a miracle is something that's like a supernatural moment, right? When God kind of supersedes human abilities and things that should be aren't, and everything gets turned on its head. When we look at the four gospels, what are the four gospels? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Very good. All of you knew that. We see the miracles of Jesus throughout the gospels, okay? And we're going to look at those things over the next few weeks. But today we're going to look at actually one of the most unusual ones, one that kind of helps us see that Jesus cares about the little things in our life. And that's really the perspective I want to look at tonight, is that Jesus actually sees the little things in our life and that he cares. God is compassionate. He's merciful, regardless of how small the requests in our life might seem, even to us or to the people around us. So we're going to look at Jesus' first miracle tonight. And so Jesus was at a Jewish wedding, right? He's at a wedding, and you've probably heard this before, heard this miracle, but I hope to put it in a, you know, maybe a little bit different perspective for you tonight. You can follow along in the Bible app if you have not pulled that down yet. Go to the events, and you can look up Connect, and it should come up if you search for events near me, and it'll be right there, and you can follow along. And this is Jesus' very first miracle. He's at a Jewish wedding. Lots of traditions, lots of feasts, lots of rituals and such that happen there. And in many ways, it's like a week-long party, all right? Weddings weren't just like a couple hours like we do now, like not the way that they did it back then. And so we're going to pick it up here, and I'm going to read all 11 verses here in John chapter 2. And so I want you to listen to this, and then we're going to talk about a few aspects of Jesus' first miracle here. So listen up. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. And when the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now, draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so. The master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside, and he said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." What Jesus did here in Cana in Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Now, Mary, Jesus' mother, might have actually been a hostess of this. Some studies say that she was potentially involved in the actual planning of the wedding. It was kind of a custom of like an aunt to be the hostess of that. And so if she runs out of wine, this is an embarrassing thing for her, embarrassing thing for the family. And so Jesus, in many ways, is kind of helping his mom out if this is the case here. And so the wine runs out here, humiliating for the bride and the groom, humiliating for his mom potentially. And so I want to address something real quick. We're going to sidebar for a second before we get back to the point, because I feel like we need to address this since we've got a whole lot of students here. And this is a thing in some ways, because the miracle is Jesus turning water into wine. So let's just address what we're all thinking for a second, right? Jesus is okay with drinking, right? Because it's in the Bible.
No.
No, that is not what this is saying. Okay? Yeah, false. That's not what this is saying, all right? Now, a lot of people will take this verse, and I'm not going to go the nth degree here and go uber legalistic on you and go, you know, no drinking ever, 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 ever kind of thing. That's a whole nother topic that I don't want to get into it. I want to look at this specific thing just for a minute, okay? Because people will look at this and say, well, Jesus drank wine, so it's okay for me too. All right, number one, y'all are underage. So the end. Okay, when it comes to that. But let me explain to you something about the time period here and about why this was a thing in some ways, all right? Water, like, do you think that they could just go and get, like, cases of Dasani?
No.
You know? Dasani water or whatever? Or Nestle or whatever? Whatever your favorite brand of bottled water is. No, it was not available, okay? Water was not always, listen. Water was not always available and able to be drank just right as it is. And so what they would do is they would take the wine and they would dilute it into the water. And it was usually anywhere from 1 to 10 parts wine to water when they would put it in there. So you're almost talking like a drink mix, right? And that made the water safer to drink, anywhere from 1/3 to 1/10 of its strength. And then there are the people that will use this and say that, well, because Jesus did this and Jesus is my role model and I want to be like Jesus. And so Jesus was cool with drinking wine, so I'm cool with it. Let me just ask you, what do you do with Luke chapter 22, verse 18? If Jesus is your role model, I'm going to do everything like Jesus. Listen to what he says here. Shh. "For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." So, Even if Jesus was drinking fermented wine here, and your argument is that he's my role model, then you'll never drink again until the kingdom of God comes if Jesus is your role model, all right? So let's just throw that one to the side for right now. I don't want to get off on a tangent here, but I just want to like point this out because I know y'all are thinking it, right? His first miracle is water into wine, so sweet. Let's get turned. No, that's not what Jesus is saying here. That's not even the point of it. But I felt like it needs to be addressed because I know my audience, all right? What we're talking about here is judgment versus joy. I want you to look at it from this perspective for a minute, right? I never really thought about this. So Moses, one of the first signs, miracles that he did was also with water, and he turned water into blood as a judgment. Jesus' first miracle, water into wine, and brought joy to it. Jesus is the grace bringer, right? Moses brought judgment. Jesus brought grace. If you approach the word of God in a legalistic way with rules and all that kind of stuff, you're just going to get blood all over the place. It's just going to get bloody. If you approach it, if you approach the word of God and you look at Jesus in the water of the word of God, there's going to be joy. So I hope you understand the difference there as we move on. So let me ask you this question then as we continue going. Why did Jesus do miracles? Why did he perform miracles? Was he just like the forerunner to Copperfield and David Blaine, you know? Or Chris Angel, if you've never heard of David Blaine, right? Any of these guys? Who's that dude that won America's Got Talent? Shinlin. There it is. That guy? Yeah. Right? Was he just like, hey, pick a card. I'm Jesus. No. Right? Why did he perform these miracles? Well, let me give you a couple reasons, right? So, number one, they confirm his deity. He's God. So they confirm that. They fulfill Old Testament prophecies because there are prophecies in the Old Testament that say that the Messiah will do signs and wonders. And so he does. And so it fulfills that. But the thing I want to look at, the reason I want to focus on tonight, is that all of these miracles, all of the miracles Jesus does, in some way, shape, or form, are stories of redemption. Stories of redemption. Every one of them. They are, which basically means rescue from fault or mistake. Anyone ever done that? Made a mistake? Had something faulty in your life that needs fixed? Everybody has, right? They point to Jesus caring for us and wanting us to believe in him. Miracles point to Jesus. John chapter 10. Look at these two verses in John chapter 10, 37 and 38. It says, "Don't believe me unless I carry out my Father's work. But if I do his work, believe in the evidence of the miraculous works I've done. Even if you don't believe me, then you will know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father." Jesus cares about the little things. Why did he choose his first miracle to be something so kind of insignificant when it comes down to it? When you find yourself praying about certain things, and you find yourself in circumstances when you're praying, and you're thinking through the things in your life, many times it's because you don't take things to God because you think they're too insignificant. You think this isn't a big enough deal. God doesn't care about this. God doesn't care about this circumstance that I'm in. And so you don't even bother taking it to him. You think it's too insignificant. If you compare this miracle to all of Jesus's miracles by human standards, this one's at the probably, it would have to be, at the bottom of the list with the fish that had a coin in its mouth probably. And you maybe didn't even know about that one. So like in terms of significance, like do you put this above like walking on water, healing people, feeding thousands of people from fish and bread? Like when we weigh this, like this one's not that big a deal when it comes down to it, but it is a big deal because Jesus did it and because what it shows us, because Jesus cares about the ordinary things that we think are ordinary. He cares about the stuff that we think doesn't matter. And he wants to be a part of that. He wants to help us in that. Jesus cares about the big things like healing a sick relative. He cares about those big things. And he also cares about the little insignificant things like I lost the remote again and I can't find it. And you chuckle, right? But how many times have you been like, oh, Lord, help me because my parents will kill me if I don't find the Apple TV remote.
Yep. Exactly.
You know? I may be speaking from experience. Here's the thing. We think that those things don't matter to God when in fact he wants to, look at me, he wants to know about everything in your life. He wants to be a part of every little bit of your life and he wants to be there to help you in all of those things. He loves to provide for us. He loves to help us in every situation that we're in, whether it's silly or whether it's serious. Psalm 34, 17 and 18. I want you to look at these passages, these two verses for a second, because if there's no other verses that you hear tonight, or you read tonight, I want you to see these. And if you can highlight in your Bible app, highlight these verses. The righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. This makes me think of Jordan and Caleb. This has to be an encouraging verse for her. They had to take off. But has God ever rescued you from troubles or problems? Has God ever shown up in a way that just can't be explained? I bet he has. And I bet he has more than you would acknowledge or more than you would realize. I bet he has shown up in ways that you didn't even notice. Maybe times where you didn't go a certain direction, even though you were supposed to. And something may have even happened there and you didn't even know it that would have affected your life maybe forever. But you missed it because God directed you in a different way because he stepped in because he loves you. Let me give you a story that's in this direction, that's like this. Again, might seem simple and insignificant, but it was pretty significant to us. We were in Oak Island, North Carolina, and Val was in the ocean. We were all in the ocean, and she went under the water. I don't know if a big wave hit you or what it was. That's what it was. So boogie board pulls her under, slams her face kind of under the water. Glasses are lost. She comes up and she's got like a seashell, little bit of seashell in her eyeball, stuck in her eye, right? She couldn't see. Now, let me add something to this for a second because she has an eye disease. I don't know if all of you know this, but Val has an eye disease. She's had one since she was four. She's been in, she's like in a medical book and she's got a special doctor. If anything happens with her eyes, we freak out because of this eye disease that she has. It's very rare for somebody her age, especially. It usually affects elderly people. And she's had it since she's the youngest person in the history of ever, I think, that they know of to have it. And it's called pars planitis. I don't know how to spell it. Don't ask me. And here's the thing, though. So she's got this bit of seashell. We need to stop talking so much right here. We've got this seashell in her eye, right? And we don't know what to do. And it's not like we could just go to any regular doctor. But at the same time, we're in North Carolina. Her doctor's here. So I'm praying, God, what do we do? She can't see. What are we supposed to do here? You know, do we need to just pack everybody up and head home? I don't know. Well, her and her mom found a doctor in the area that she could go to. And we didn't know. We figured if we could at least get this thing out of her eye and then we can go from there, that would at least be something. So she goes to this doctor that just happened to be, I don't know how far away was the doctor. Not real far, was it?
It was in Southport. We went to the Southport emergency room.
Yeah. Okay. So that's right. So she sees this doctor. Now, this doctor that she has had since she was little, she's had the same doctor. He's in Akron. So she goes to this doctor, and she's talking to this doctor. And not only does this guy know her doctor from up here, but he actually did his internship with him and had just moved down there from Akron like 2 weeks before. What are the chances, right? May not seem like a miracle to you, but it sure was to us because he knew what to do. He got that thing out of her eye, and clearly she's here and she can see, right? And we were able to trust this guy because he had some experience with this because there's not too many doctors in the country, quite frankly, that know a whole lot about what to do with her eye disease. It's that weird. That was a pretty significant miracle for us. It started with communicating with God, though. We've got to start with communicating with God, and we overcomplicate that. We think that we have to pray a certain way. We think that we have to talk a certain way and that certain things have to be the right way in our life for us to communicate with God. But communicating with Jesus, it is simple and it is necessary. It is simple and it is necessary. Let me ask you this. If you stopped communicating with your parents or your closest friend, what would happen? Would you have much of a relationship there? Some of you would be like, sweet. No. But honestly, like, look at this. If you stopped communicating what would happen? So if we stop communicating with Jesus, it's the same idea, right? We think Jesus gets annoyed by our prayers, or that you're not saying it the right way, or man, I don't know how to pray in King James English. What does this look like? You know, I don't have an English accent when I pray, so God must not hear me. But like, because all prayers sound better like that, right? Not really. But at the same time, you could listen to Benedict Cumberbatch read the Bible, and it would just sound a whole lot cooler than you. You know what I mean? But like, we do that. We put those kind of parameters on ourselves, and we think God doesn't care. And so we stop communicating with him. And it's funny, because there's many times I will get questions from you guys, and I have definitely over the years, of things where you're saying things alluding to something along these lines. I just don't feel like God is there. I don't feel like he hears me. I don't feel like I've got a relationship with him much anymore, or that God's distant. I've heard the same thing in various ways. And my first question is always this: how's your prayer life? How often are you reading God's word? 99.99% of the time, the answer to that is, well, I'm really not. I don't know the last time I prayed. More than likely, that's usually the answer that I get. And you wonder why your communication with God, why he's feeling distant, because you're not talking to him. Because you think that what you have to bring doesn't matter. And that's not the case at all. And this miracle points to that. You can use the same techniques that you use for communicating to your friends and your family that you can to communicate with Jesus. You can talk to him in prayer. You could write God a letter. That might sound stupid to you, but it's not, because you can really like put all of your thoughts down. Some of you really love to write. That's just a thing. Have you ever thought about writing a prayer out to God and getting all of that stuff down? That's a way to communicate to God. You don't have to show it to anybody. It can just be yourself. I know plenty of people with a prayer journal that they write it down. You could do that even as keeping a note on your phone, texting or something along those lines, so that it's like that. Music, singing, worship, like we did tonight, or even when you're just by yourself with your earbuds in. Music is a language, hardcore to a lot of us, a hardcore language that really matters. Some of my most intimate moments with God, where I just didn't know what to say, the song that came on my phone or on the radio at the time just said it perfectly in a way that I couldn't do it. And because of the way that the music put it all together, because God gave us music because it's art, and God's first job description was that of an artist, and I love that. And there's so much to that that maybe is a part of that. That's why we're taking an entire night next week to dedicate to just worship in that regard. That's why we're doing a full worship night next week. And we'll be just communicating with God the whole time in that way, in that language. You can talk to God and you can communicate with him in so many ways. Jesus loves when you ask him for help, and he loves when you thank him for helping him. He wants to hear from you no matter how silly or insignificant you think what you have is. And when you do that, you're gonna see his miracles in your life much more often, because I promise you, they're there. I promise you, they're there all the time. You're gonna recognize God in even the simplest things. There's a song that's on Toby Mac's new album called Everything, and it's on the radio way too much right now, to be honest. But the lyrics to it are speaking exactly to this. I see you in everything all day. No matter where I go, you're right beside me. God is in so many things that you don't even see him in. And part of the reason is because we're not communicating with him, and because we think that the things in our life are not significant enough for God to care about, but they are. They're so significant, because miracles point the way to Jesus. Miracles point the way to Jesus, no matter how small, no matter how big, whether it's water into wine, whether it's feeding 5,000. They all point to Jesus, and they all point to a story of redemption, of something that's broke that needs fixed, something that's not quite right that needs help. And how many of us are in a circumstance like that in our life? All of us in some way, shape, or form are, because I can't fix myself. I need Jesus. The things that are wrong with me, I can try and try and try, but I just don't get them right. There's some days I do, there's most days I don't. And the days that I maybe get a couple things right, believe me, I get the rest of it wrong. We all need him. Miracles point the way to Jesus. John 2:11. This is the end of that passage that we were reading. Listen to this. What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Jesus' disciples had greater belief in him because they witnessed this miracle. They were there. They saw it. They saw it happen. We see miracles. Look at me, guys. You see miracles every day. You see God moving in your life every day. You just don't see it. We need to see it. We need to have our eyes open. We need to have our perspective shifted. And we will see those miracles. And those miracles will point us to Jesus, which will in turn allow us to point others to Jesus. Because we will be acknowledging what God has been doing in our life. And when God does those miraculous things and when God answers prayers, it's an opportunity for us to thank him and to praise him and to not just keep that to ourselves, but to tell the people around us that that's what God has done. And when we talk about those experiences with other people, when we talk about the things that we've seen God do, we tell people the way that God has met our needs and the way that God provides peace in a circumstance that it doesn't seem like it should. When God shows up in a place where junk is just hitting the fan and everybody else is freaking out and doesn't know what to do, but you are calm in the storm because God has brought peace over your life and he has miraculously intervened. We can point people toward Jesus as the one who did it all. And so the connection point for the night is no matter how big or small, God can do miracles in your life. And you need to know that. And you need to get your head around that. And you need to believe that. And it will change the way you see everything. It will change the way you see everything. Miracles happened during this season of Gladiator Games. They might have been this big to us, but to God, they were huge. Some of you took some great steps spiritually during this season. Some of you have maybe just been waiting. Some of you maybe need to take a few more steps. We've had some people come to know Jesus as their Savior for the first time. That is a miracle in and of itself. God does amazing things and he is available 24/7 and no request is too little for him to respond. No request is too little. So I want everybody to bow your head and close your eyes for just a minute and I want you to focus for just a second on your life and where you're at right now and the things in your life where you need God. From the smallest minute detail to the biggest thing going on in your life, let me ask you this question. What big miracle do you need in your life right now? What big miracle do you need in your life right now? Ask God for that right now. Talk to him. Talk to him about it in the right heart, with the right spirit, not asking God like he's a genie in a bottle, but knowing that he knows what's best and laying it at his feet. What big miracle do you need in your life? What small miracles do you maybe need in your life right now? What are the small ones that might seem small to everybody else? Sometimes the small ones are the most significant, though. Jesus says to be faithful in the small things because he's faithful. If you don't have a relationship with God, if you're not 100% sure that you're going to heaven, that you're going to be with him one day, that you can look at him face to face one day and thank him and praise him for everything that he has done, for the miracles that he's done and is going to do, I'd love to talk to you tonight. Some of our leaders would love to talk to you tonight and show you in the Word of God what it means to be saved. If you want to know more about that tonight, would you be willing to look me right in the eye right now? If that's you, with every head bowed and every eye closed, unless you want to know more about having a relationship with Jesus, then let's talk if that's you. Father, I love you, Lord, and I thank you, God, that you care about every aspect of our life. Jesus, I thank you that no matter how big or how small the things are in our life, that you do miracles every day. And sometimes, Lord, we choose not to see them because our radar is not even up. We're not even looking for it because maybe it's if we're not at church or we're not on our way to church that we're not even really thinking about you, Lord. But you're involved in every bit of our life, and we need you to be even more so. So, Father, I pray for these students right now as they're in a world, Lord, that doesn't care about you at all, where the things of God, the values of God don't really matter and are insignificant to everyone around them, Lord, but they're so significant to you. And I pray, Lord, that would be something that would sit heavy on everybody's heart to know that following you is the right way and that those miracles that you're going to do in their life, God, they're going to point them to you and they're going to point other people in their life to you through them. Because each one of these students in here, Father, are a miracle in and of themselves. And I thank you so much for each and every one of them. God, I pray that if there's one here that doesn't know you as Savior, or that tonight they would make that decision, they would at least talk to somebody about that so that they can get that straight, so that they can know for 100% sure that they're going to be with you in heaven one day. Lord, I thank you for the miracles that you did over the season of Gladiator Games and over all of Gladiator Games from all 21 seasons, God. You've done amazing things. Lord, I thank you that we all got to be a part of it. God, I just pray that that we can have our eyes open to see you more and to see the miracles that you do in our lives more and more. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.